one version up and read a different one. Your brain's like, wait, oh, so that's kind of what that word could be. You know? Anyway, I thought it was kind of fun. That was probably my fault. I maybe didn't tell them ESV, but was that it? Was that NIV 84 you were, or NIV you were reading, or NLT? Oh, nope, no problem. But I was just telling everybody, I thought it was kind of a fun little mind game just to get a little better better understanding of the word. So, okay. Well, see, what a humble man we've got here. See, that's why he's a deacon. We look for humble servants, and then we put them in leadership positions. So, anyway, I'm just going to pray again and ask that God would speak to us this morning, that God would have our hearts. So let's just do that. Father, we come humbly before you. We want to hear from your word. We're not here to hear what Paul Letvin has to say or what anyone else has to say. We're here to hear what you want to tell us, Jesus, through your word. Pray you'd give us humble hearts. Pray you'd give us open minds. Pray that as we hear these verses and instructions that we wouldn't think, wow, I know someone who really needs to get this together in their life. Lord, help us to ask ourselves, how can I change? How can I apply this to my life? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just a quick review from last week. We went through part one, talked a little bit about, you know, who James is, things like that. Last week, the big idea was to, you better remember, find joy and remain steadfast during the testing of your faith. That was the big idea last week. It's kind of funny. A lot of people that were here last week are not here this week, and then vice versa. So anyway, so that's what you missed last week. Find joy and remain steadfast during the testing of your faith. We went through James 1, verses 1 through 17. And kind of one of the main points of that was we need to recognize trials as a good gift without being deceived. You know, sometimes when we're in that trial, it doesn't seem so great. But really, it's a gift that God gives us. He trains us. He makes us steadfast. Another good gift that never changes, just as our Father of lights never changes, as it says in James 1:17, the Word, God's Word, is another good gift that never changes. Kind of the big idea verse for today, which we'll get to in a minute, but Tyler read it. It's James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's kind of a big idea verse to remember for this morning. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if you haven't gotten the idea yet on the board when you walked in, we heard Tyler talk about it. You heard me kind of pray about it. Let's put it up on the screen again. The big idea for this morning. So when you walk away and you're sitting at home tonight, over dinner, you think, yeah, what did Pastor Paul talk about again at church today? This is it. This is what we want you to remember. Hear the word, receive the word, do the word. So that's the big idea. It's in your bulletin. It's on the screen. Get it in your brain. Start thinking now how you can apply that in your life this week. Hear the word, receive the word, do the word. All right. So regarding the word, let's get right into this. A lot of fun stuff to talk about. So number one, as you can see in your bulletin, it's a voluntary gift from God bringing salvation. It's a voluntary gift from God bringing salvation. So that's one thing regarding the word that this passage tells us. If we take a look at verse 18, from which that statement is based, of his own will. So this is talking about God, Father of lights. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God was not forced to save us. He wasn't forced to do it. It was a voluntary gift of his own free will. His love to us was unmerited. It was unbought and even unsought. Isn't that just a blessing? Just deserving of our worship. I mean, when you really sit down and think about everything that God did for us, even these bracelets we've been encouraging our members to wear, the red verse, love, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. That's just amazing. It was a voluntary gift. Just that right there should really just cause us to want to worship him. Deserving of our worship. He brought us forth. So that phrase in this verse, he brought us forth, that would indicate the fact of new birth, of spiritual birth, our salvation. Okay, so that's what that's referencing to. He brought us forth. How were we brought forth? By the word of truth. As this verse says, we were brought forth by the word of truth. The Bible is the instrument of new birth. Here it is right here. We've got everything that we need to know about salvation. The scriptures are always involved in a genuine conversion when someone gives their life to Jesus, whether it's orally or in printed form. They have got to hear God's word. That's what changes hearts. Without the Bible, we wouldn't know the way of salvation or even about salvation if we didn't have the Bible. We wouldn't even know about it. Okay? The first fruits, as it talks about here, first fruits are offered to God in gratitude, recognizing that everything comes from him and belongs to him. Okay? It was an Old Testament practice, and we still practice it today when we give from the first fruits of our income, when we tithe, when we give gifts to people, we give it right back to God. Everything belongs to God. We've talked about tithing here numerous times before, and some people think, well, it's kind of an Old Testament practice. We're under God's grace. You don't have to do that now. And to that, I just say, well, okay, Jesus took the law, and he went after people's hearts. So if we're going to go by that policy, and you're a New Testament Christian, you should be giving every single penny of your paycheck to Jesus. Jesus says, give me everything, right? But all he asks for is 10%. So that's kind of a little reference there, our first fruits of our income, but we are first fruits to God, you know, through salvation. So too, we should offer our lives to God as living sacrifices, as it says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, thanking him continually for the gift of our salvation and the gift of the word. And when I start my prayer time in the morning, one of the very first things I do right away is I thank God for my salvation. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I want one of the very first things I do when I pray. I never take it for granted, our salvation. What a gift. So it's a voluntary gift, bringing salvation. All right, number two, hear it quickly. Hear it quickly. Hurry up and listen, right? We need to hear it quickly. And something else that you could, if you're interested, you could write in your bulletin next to this. So kind of the main focus of this point is read the word. Read the word. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this point. So hear it quickly. How do we do that? Read the word. And I'm going to get into that as we talk about these two verses. So verses 19 through 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So a quick note once again here, as in verse 2 and 6 and 16 of chapter 1, when you see that word brothers, that's the Greek word adelphoi, which is correctly translated brothers, but it really refers to siblings in a family, which would include sisters as well. And if you notice the version that Tyler read, you know, he said brothers and sisters, which it isn't like completely inaccurate, because it's really this word, it's translated brothers, but it really means siblings, be like mankind, right? I think I talked about that at least last week. One small step for man, one big step for mankind. Neil Armstrong wasn't saying just all the males on planet Earth. He was talking about mankind, men and women. So that term brothers does include it's siblings in a family. So it would include sisters, FYI. All right. So James must have known his Proverbs really well. I don't know about you guys, but if anybody, my family, we read the Proverbs of the day every day. So we end up reading through the entire book of Proverbs 12 times a year. And, you know, so today we'll do Proverbs 6. And in reading through this, I was just thinking, my goodness, there is a lot right here. Yep, I've heard that in Proverbs, heard that in Proverbs. So here it is. And, of course, James would have been learned in that, which is not a surprise. So James obviously knew Proverbs well. So this won't be on the screen, but you can just listen. You can write these references down if you want. So Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Okay, just like here. Be quick to hear. Next one. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Be slow to speak, Okay. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Yeah, that's a good one for our day and age, isn't it? People that get so offended. I'll wait before I start going on a rant about that. But consider this. Listen and silent are spelled with the same letters. Think about it. You can write that down if you want. Listen and silent are spelled with the same letters. Think about it. God gave us two ears and what? One. Does anyone have two tongues here? One tongue, right? He gave us two ears and one tongue. So that means what? We should listen twice as much as we speak, right? Listen to, oh my goodness, if I had a dollar for every time my mom told me that, Paul, you should listen twice as much as you speak. Oh, you've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. Yeah. Oh, I love my mom. She's so great. Learned a lot from that lady. Still learning. There's just a lot of common sense to that, isn't there? These commands are to be followed in the context of hearing the word of God as well as godly counsel and admonition. So when we look at that, yeah, that's when someone's speaking to us. But also when we open our Bibles, is this the attitude that we have? Are we quick to hear? Are we slow to speak? Are we slow to become angry? Okay. We should long to hear God's word. As the psalmist in Psalm 119:20, he said, my soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Wow. You guys, do you ever feel like, when was the last time you opened the Bible and you're just like, yes, like, phew. Anybody ever seen The Matrix where he gets plugged into the system? He's like, yeah, I want to learn Kung Fu, right? Is it Kung Fu the first thing he learns? Yeah. And then you can see him on it. He's just like, and then he like knows it. He's like, give me more, you know. And then he's like learning all these different martial arts, like jujitsu. And, you know, it's like, I mean, that's how we should be when we're reading the word of God. We should just read and be like, yes, this is awesome. I want to long to hear God's word. I want it to be in me. I just want to download it right into my system. So I just have it with me. That's we should be consumed with it. So how can we hear the word? How can we hear it? Primarily by individually reading our Bibles. Any of you that have been in Christ for any amount of time, I know you've never heard this before, but read your Bible. Read it. Read the word. Read it out loud if needed. Sometimes that can be helpful to hear. My goodness, when we were out sharing Christ with people and then watching them, and then okay, what does this verse say? And then they read it out loud, you know, and they hear their own voice. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, what does that mean to you? There's so much power in that person hearing their own voice speak the word of God. Let your Bible app read it to you so you can hear it. I do that a number of times a week. I'll be working out or something and just listen to the Bible out loud or in my car so I can hear it. And hear it quickly. Be more focused on the truth you are hearing than thinking of what you will say in response. Did you guys hear that? Be more focused on the truth you are hearing than thinking of what you will say in response. Some excuse on how it doesn't apply to you, or some comeback to rationalize your false thinking or belief, especially when God may be speaking to you through a brother in Christ who loves you enough to admonish you and give you counsel. And that's the attitude that we need to have when someone comes up to you and says, hey, brother, you know, I've noticed this in your life. And I mean, we have got to assume the best in that person. We've got to believe that they love us. I mean, that takes a lot of courage. I mean, does anybody enjoy going up to someone and admonishing them, calling them out like, oh, man, I can't wait until I see Bryce again. I'm going to really give it to him. Like, nobody, I don't enjoy that. I mean, I know there's some people that do like to argue, but my goodness. I mean, I pray a lot about things before I bring it up to somebody and tell, say, hey, I love you. This action in your life is not bringing you closer in your relationship with the Lord. So we've got to believe that about people when they're talking to us. Don't be like our culture that is so easily offended. So easily offended. Oh my goodness. I could think of a little thing to say right now that would just make a bunch of people from a certain group just like go off the handle, and it wouldn't even be that big of a deal. Oh, how can you say that? You blah, 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 right? Our culture is so easily offended. We need to be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Remember Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Can you choose to overlook an offense? It takes time. It takes, I mean, we got to learn God's word. We've got to let Jesus help us in that. By the way, keep this in mind. As I'm talking about this morning, as we're talking about the word, remember John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when we're talking about the word, we're really talking about Jesus. Like, this is Jesus. When you open your Bible and you read it, you are experiencing Jesus. He's the one that changes us. He's the one that helps us with these things. A man who is quick-tempered does not produce the righteousness of God, as this verse says. That which he expects from his children. He expects us to produce righteousness. We were created in advance to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. Those who claim to be believers and who lose their temper give a wrong impression to the world about Christianity and shame the name of Jesus. When we lose our temper, that is such a poor testament to the world. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes his city. Proverbs 16:32. That's something that I grew up with. It's a family sin chain that I've been, just crying out to Jesus to break in my own life. And for most of my life, I've done pretty well. And then Haley and I had kids. And then, wow, there's been more than a couple times where I've scared myself at the anger that came out of me. And, of course, apologized right away to whichever child it was that I raised my voice. But my goodness, we have got to be connected to Jesus every day if we're going to defeat and have control over our anger. We've got to give it to God. And I pray, Lord, help me not to be so easily offended. Help me not to be irritable. Help me to just be patient and not be so particular. And it takes time, but Jesus can change us. That's why I memorized so many verses about being slow to anger, having a gentle tongue. Gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Things like that. Next, number three, receive it with meekness. Receive it with meekness. So this is verse 21. And then, so for number two, remember I asked, like, so kind of the point was that of that was read the word, right? Okay, for this one, number three, receive. Oh, it's up there. Wow, look at that. Was the other one up there too? Probably was. Yeah, of course it was. I put the PowerPoint together. Oh my, I need some sleep. Okay, so there it is. You can write that in your study, memorize, meditate. Study, memorize, meditate on the word. That's kind of the main gist of this point. We need to receive it with meekness. So let's take a look at verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Tyler was reading, it said humility, but then this version says meekness. And there's actually a difference between meekness and humility. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I mean, humility is kind of part of meekness, but there's more to it than just that. So it isn't just anger that we must avoid in order to hear and receive the word, but we must put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. We must lay them aside like soiled garments, ridding ourselves of them. Okay? When Jude has a blowout and it's all filthy, it's soiled, we lay it aside, we wash it. Sometimes there's been some that are so bad, it's just like, you know what, we just need to throw this onesie away. That's just so bad. And that's what we need to do in our lives with filthiness and rampant wickedness, right? Filthiness would include every form of impurity, whether spiritual, mental, or physical. This is everything that we allow into our bodies and souls through our eyes, our ears, our mouths, as well as what comes out of our mouths and our actions, okay? Particularly, we must be on guard against all filthy forms of media. I don't think it takes a genius to realize there is a lot of filthy media out there because we live in a culture of rampant wickedness. It's out of control, in our culture. Okay, so we must silence those loud voices of worldly, unrestrained wickedness in order to receive the truth, the Word of God. And I did a two-part series back in January on worldliness, talking about that very thing. It's so easy to get sucked in unless we make a conscious effort to drown that out and listen to God's truth instead. Listen to His Word. We must receive it with meekness. Okay, so we're going to get to talking about what meekness is. It's very easy, isn't it, to read the Word and hear it without letting it speak to us. How many of you have ever sat down and you've read a chapter or a page or something of the Bible, and then you get to the end and you don't even know what you read? You just, wow, I just read that and I don't even know. How many of you have ever been to a church service and you go home and like, wow, I don't even know what that was about. Okay, it's easy for us to let our minds wander, isn't it? We can read stuff, we can do stuff, but then we don't let it speak to us. But when our pride, right? So we've got pride and hardness and sin can make us unreceptive and unresponsive. Okay? Apathy is a sin. Sometimes we might sit down and read our Bible. Well, I know I'm supposed to do this to be a good Christian, but you don't even really care about it. And then you don't hear anything from the Lord because you're not expecting him to speak anything to you. You don't care. We have to care. When we receive the Word with meekness, okay, so this is what meekness is. We restrain our own power, our own ideas, and lay it aside, making room for God's instruction. Okay, so when you're meek, I mean, think about Superman. A great scene from Man of Steel was when I think they're in Alaska. And he walks into this bar, and he's serving, and he sees this guy being rude to this other person, and he comes and stops. The person takes the beer can, throws it at his face. I mean, this is Superman. Like, I mean, he could have just, like just blasted him with his eye, but he restrained himself. He didn't. He just stood there. He took it, and he walked out, and he didn't fight back. So that's meekness. He had the power to destroy this guy, but he restrained that power, and he didn't do it. He was meek. Of course, then the next scene you see a semi like all tangled up in power lines. And so he did something later, which I was like, yeah, I mean, we want to see justice, right? That's kind of but there's a time where we need to grant mercy and grace. Okay, so that's part of it. It's restraining our power. But also meekness is therefore, it's an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances that are wisely seen by the individual as only part of a larger picture. Okay, so another form of meekness is it's when we see something, we think we have like a complete full view of whatever this topic is, but then to be meek, we say, okay, I realize I have a limited perspective. There might be something that I don't see that's part of the big picture, and I need to accept that. Okay? And if there's anybody that we should be like that with, it's God and His Word, right? I mean, my goodness, God can see the past, the present, and the future all at once right now. What can we see? Just this moment. Just this moment. Of course, we have memories from the past. We certainly can't see the future. But God sees all of it. He's got the big picture right now. We don't. So that's another part of being meek, is realizing we only have part of the larger picture. And that's the attitude we need to have when we're reading the Bible. We might think we know all this stuff already, but we need to have that attitude of meekness. Okay? It's when the strong place themselves in a position of weakness. People think that someone who is meek is someone who is weak, and that is a lie. It takes a lot of strength to put aside your own thoughts, your own desires, and put yourself in a position of weakness where you can persevere without giving up. And that takes a lot of strength to do that. Strong people are the only ones that are able to be meek. Notice the description, implanted word. That means the Word has become a part of us. It's hidden inside of us. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay? It's implanted. So how do we implant the Word inside us? How do we do it? How do we implant it inside us? Study it, memorize it, meditate on it. Those three things that I had you guys write next to point three. Receive it with meekness. How do we do that? We've got to study it. We've got to memorize it. We've got to meditate on it. Read it and say it and think about it over and over and over and over. And that's how it becomes implanted in us. We have to do it again and again. This will save your souls. Notice the end of that verse, of verse 21, which is able to save your souls. Okay, so the Bible is used as an instrument, obviously, to save our souls from the penalty of sin in eternity, but it also saves us from the power of sin in this life as well. Okay? So you guys get that? So the Word of God has the message of salvation. It saves our souls from eternal death, but it also saves our souls from the power of sin right now in the moment, in this world. So God's Word has a power. And I can't tell you how many times I've been about to say something or do something or think something, and then, bam, all of a sudden some verse comes up that I memorized a long time ago. Look not only to your own interests, Paul, but also to the interests of others, Philippians 2:4. Like, wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're right. I need to stop what I'm doing and help this person even though I'm so busy. I need to look to their interests. I mean, the words saves our souls today, like in the moment, from being consumed by our sinful nature and letting it have power in our lives. We've got to know the Word. We've got to get it in us, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. Okay, next point, number four. This is probably the most important. Do it. Do it by putting it into action. And as you can see there, the whole point of this point is obey the Word. Obey the Word. Obey. Obey. We just love that word, don't we? Obey. You need to obey. It's like, no, I will not. I will rebel. That's our natural instinct, right? You can't tell me what to do. God says, obey. Why? Because He cares about us. Why do I tell my son that he needs to obey immediately when I say stop right before he's about to ride his bike across a busy intersection? Because I don't want him to have fun. I don't want him to go racing and feeling the wind in his hair on his bike. Or is it because I see a van coming and the woman's texting, and if he doesn't stop, he's going to get hit and he's going to die? God asks us to obey because He loves us. He wants to protect us. He's got our best interest in mind. 22 through 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He will be blessed in his doing. Wow. It is not enough to receive the implanted word. We must obey it. We must do it by putting it into action. What did Jesus say in John 14:15? If you love me, keep my commands. Who loves Jesus here? Prove it by obeying him. If you are really a Christian, if you really love Jesus, then you need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourselves. There are plenty of so-called Christians out there that think that they're fine and dandy, but they are not obeying Jesus' commands, and they are deceived. They're deceived. If we continually learn what we ought to do, but do not do it, we become depressed, frustrated, and callous. Listen to this saying. This is not mine. I got this from a commentary, so you can't quote Paul Letvin on this, but impression without expression leads to depression. Impression without expression leads to depression. Impression without expression leads to depression. Okay, so if we are impressed by the Word of God, wow, this is good stuff. Way to go, Jesus. You preach it. Yep, really good. But we don't ourselves express what He tells us to do in our faith, it's going to lead us to depression. Because then we know all these things that we should be doing. We're not doing them. We feel guilty. Man, I'm a loser. I can't follow Christ. Then we get depressed. And of course, we know the rabbit trail that depression leads to. It gets worse and worse and worse. We've got to do what we know. Sometimes the mirror, okay, so let's put this back to the mirror analogy, as James does, okay? Sometimes the mirror may tell us, you get up in the morning, you look, and the mirror tells you to wash or shave or pick that food out of your teeth or pick that something else or fix your hair, okay? Right? When we look in the mirror, like the mirror tells us about our appearance and how we look. And it's like, it's saying like, hey, Paul, your hair's all messed up. Fix it. Charlton, you've got lettuce in your teeth from lunch. Pick it out of your teeth. Okay. So when we look in the mirror, what's the point of having a mirror if we don't do what it says? Raise your hand if you've got a mirror in your house, like at least one mirror, like in the bathroom or somewhere. Okay. Just about all of us do, right? I mean, I know when you're camping, it's kind of tough, but okay. But all of us have mirrors. Okay, so if you think you're already perfect all the time, then get rid of your mirror. I don't have to do what my mirror says. I know I'm already perfect. I'm perfect. I look perfect all the time. I wake up, my hair is perfect. I never get food in my teeth. I'm perfect. I don't need the mirror. Okay. Sadly, that's what some of us do with God's word. When it tells us to do something, like, I don't want to do that. So we get rid of it. What's the point? Okay. The blessings come when we do the word. The blessings come when we do the word. Don't look in the mirror and not pick that lettuce out of your teeth. Please save the rest of us from having to embarrass you. Okay? The same thing when we read our Bible. Let the Bible teach you how to follow God and not have to have another brother or someone in Christ come and say, hey, you're not following this, when you could have been obeying God's word 6 months ago when you read that verse passage, but you weren't paying attention. Okay? The blessings come when we do the word. We look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere. As we obey the word of God and do it, we find true freedom from the world and our flesh. Notice it says the law of liberty. God's word sets us free from sin. It's not a bunch of rules that prevents us from having fun. It sets us free from sin. It sets us free from what the world is telling us to do. When we do it, we find true freedom. And the truth sets us free. Okay, lastly, number 5. Okay, so once again, point 2, read the word. Point 3, study, memorize, and meditate on the word. Point 4, obey the word. Okay, and then when we do all these things, this is what happens. Let it purify your faith/religion. I don't like the word religion because then people call me religious and there's so many connotations with that. I just tell people, I follow Jesus. I've got a relationship with Jesus. I'm not a religious person. I've got a faith in Jesus Christ. Although, you know, the world calls, yeah, Christianity is a religion. Anyway, that's why I put faith/religion. Let's take a look at these verses. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So here we see worthless religion contrasted with undefiled religion. Our outward life and our actions must line up with what we claim to believe internally, or we are deceiving ourselves. And our religion, our faith, is worthless. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, I almost lost my religion, when they stop themselves from saying something naughty? Has anyone ever heard that phrase before? Oh, I almost lost my religion. They're just about to say something they shouldn't have. Well, this is where that comes from. This is the verse where that phrase comes from. An unbridled tongue is only one example of a worthless religion. Any behavior that's inconsistent with the Christian faith is worthless. Okay? But when God is what God is looking for is the practical type of godliness, which takes a compassionate interest in others and keeps one's own life clean. So as we hear the word, receive the word, and do the word, it purifies our faith. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God judges our thoughts and attitudes. It gets us on the right track. So ask yourself, do I read the Bible with a humble desire to have God rebuke me, teach me, and change me? When you read your Bible, ask yourself that question. Do I read the Bible with a humble desire to have God rebuke me, teach me, and change me? Let it purify you. When people meet you, give them a pure drink of Jesus water, not one that has been defiled with contaminants. Okay, we want to have a pure religion. So when people meet us, they're drinking 100% fresh Jesus spring water. Who wants to drink water? You look at it and there's like little floaties in there. It's kind of yellowish, maybe a couple mud, I mean, no one wants to drink that. And that's what we're like when we don't have a pure religion, when we're not living it out. And right there, you know, visiting orphans and widows, that's just one example of how we can live out our faith, helping those in need. Let's be real deal Christians. Let's hear the word, receive the word, and do the word. The first two are absolutely pointless if you don't do it. We need to hear the word. We need to receive it with meekness. We need to do it. I'm just going to briefly pray. We're going to have Brother Charlton come up and lead us in communion, and then I think we'll just be finished after that. So, Lord, thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do the word, as we talked about, that we wouldn't just hear it, we wouldn't just even receive it with meekness, but that we would do it, that we would put our faith into action, Lord, that we would show the world. And Lord, we know that righteous works do not earn us our way to heaven. We know that. But my goodness, the least we can do out of thankfulness and gratitude for what you've done for us by sending your son to die on the cross for us, giving us salvation, is to offer up our lives to you as a living sacrifice. That's just the natural, normal reaction of someone who's so thankful. They want to serve you. They want to please you. They want to bring glory to you, God. We do that by giving Jesus a good name. We do that by being Christ to everyone that we meet. Lord, help us to obey what you tell us. Help us to read your Bible every day, that we would study it, that we would memorize it. We would meditate it. We would fall asleep thinking about it. We would wake up thinking about it. And then we'd go and do it and live it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.